Hello again, listening friends. This is Keith Kaiser coming to you from Manna in the Morning with a study in God's Holy Word. Today our reading begins in John chapter 17 and verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. What beautiful verses these are in our Lord's great prayer to his Father. As this section winds up the upper room ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's praying to his Father and talking not only about his own who were on the earth at that time, but also he looks into the future and prays for those who would believe because of the testimony of the disciples, the ones who would believe because of their word. And what a wonderful truth it is that God's church is a continuous living organism, that what began on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit coming and baptizing the believers into one body continues even to this day. Every time a sinner trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, every time they come in repentance and faith towards God, confessing that they are unworthy, that they cannot contribute anything to their salvation, that salvation is of the Lord and must be dependent on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from the cross and his resurrection. Every time someone is born again thereby, they're added to that great body. It's one continuous entity. The unity that the Lord Jesus prayed for is real. Now, believers have sometimes obscured this unity. Sadly, men have a tendency to become sectarian and to divide amongst themselves. And denominationalism may obscure this greater truth, but I tell you, it's still real that God has one church. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, says Ephesians chapter 4. You might say, well, which church is the right church? I'm not talking about earthly buildings, friends. I'm not talking about earthly organizations. The church universal that the Bible speaks of is composed of every true believer in the Lord Jesus. Every person who's been born again is added to that church, becomes part of the one body. It doesn't matter which local church they meet with. If they're trusting in the work of the Lord Jesus alone to save them, they're part of that church, and they experience this unity that the Lord Jesus here prays for, unity that stretches all the way back to the first apostles, for we believe the apostles' doctrine and try as best we can to follow their teaching in the Holy Scriptures. It also stretches upwards toward God the Father and the Son, us having the great unity of being united to the life of God through Christ, our hearts beating in time with his, as it were, wanting what he wants and hating what he hates, desiring and longing to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, as Paul would say. Oh, what a wonderful truth it is here that the church is unified with God the Father and God the Son. And here he prays in verse 22, that the glory which the Lord Jesus had been given, he would give as well to the believers. He says, I have given them the glory. Just as men looked at the Lord Jesus and said, there's something different about him. He's not like the rest of the people around here. So when Christians live in consistency with his life, when they are being obedient to the Savior, people look at us and they say, there's something different about them. There's a change made in them. It's not that Christians are any better than anyone else, but they've had the new life given to them. They've had the work of the Father and the Son in sanctifying them, and they can't help but display the moral glory of the Lord Jesus. No, we're not perfect, and no, we don't display it right now perfectly like he did on earth, but we will one day. For Romans 8 tells us that it's our destiny. God has ordered and foreordained that we should be glorified with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One day soon, we're going to enter into that glory when the Lord Jesus comes and receives us unto himself. Praise God.